is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, the Vanderbilt fan, Vanderbilt fans already tweeted me and said, oh, blank, in reference to me saying that the Vandy boys are going to win the national championship.
The word is out now.
Okay, go ahead and tell McDonald's downtown. Go ahead and tell McDonald's downtown to put it up there. Jared Stillman is saying, I mean, look, I don't want them to win. I want Louisville to beat Mississippi State tonight, which I'm not feeling great about. And then I want us to beat Vandy twice. That's just not going to happen. Like, I've watched Vandy play enough of these baseball games to tell you, it's just not going to happen. So you can go ahead and put that on a billboard. Now, again, I'm just not sure how many people are living and dying by Vandy baseball or whatever, but that's my take on what I've seen of that. Now, speaking of Vandy baseball, we do have a controversy surrounding their appearance in the College World Series. Floyd, are you familiar with the latest controversy as far as Vandy baseball is concerned?
I don't think so.
The Vanderbilt Whistler.
Oh, jeez.
The Whistler. The Whistler was told, I guess, on Sunday, stop whistling or you will be ejected from the ballpark, which I kind of hate the Vandy Whistler. So you would think that I would like that. Well, apparently yesterday, the Whistler, and I'm reading from the Adam Sparks article in the Tennessean. So what happened was on Sunday, the Vandy Whistler was doing his three whistles, the and then they're going to do the, like all that, whatever. I hate it. But that's neither here nor there. But I guess a TD Ameritrade Park or whatever it is came up to the Vanderbilt fan and gave him three warnings and threatened to toss him. Said if he whistled again, they'd throw him out of the stadium. So then there was a big question as to whether or not the Vandy Whistler was going to whistle anymore in the College World Series. I guess Preacher Franklin is one of the two Vandy Whistlers, said, I don't want to get in trouble, and I don't want to be a butt. I don't think they should shut down my whistling, but they didn't totally shut me down. They worked with me, which means the latest is that the College World Series and the Vandy Whistler might be calling a truce. And apparently the Whistler, what happened was he whistled, and somebody came up to him. And then when they came up to him, other Vanderbilt fans started whistling, kind of, I guess, as this sense of, if you're going to throw him out, you got to throw us all out, or something like that. But the real question I have for you is, what do we make of the controversy surrounding the Vandy Whistler? Like, I find the guy annoying, but is it really grounds to be thrown out of a sporting event for whistling the way that the Vandy Whistler whistles?
I don't know. I mean, I would think if you're going to throw somebody out for whistling, that, you know, guys that have those big old long horns or cowbells or drums.
Well, those aren't allowed. Those aren't allowed in college sports.
In any of it?
Not college baseball.
Oh, well, then, I mean, if none of that's allowed, then I guess you could say that about whistling.
Why? That's natural.
I have no idea.
So I guess the way that it's stated by the NCAA is artificial noisemakers are not allowed. So you can't bring a cowbell and like a Mississippi State fan and bang your cowbell over and over again.
At baseball?
Yes, that is against the rules.
Because they're not able to butt?
I did not
with that noise.
I did not make the rules, so I don't know why they chose what they chose for those rules. I'm just saying I don't know what they are. Whistling is not an artificial noisemaker. This is my thing. I hate the Vandy Whistler. I do. It's annoying. It's obnoxious. Like, it is embarrassing. I can't stand it. But I think the NCAA or TD Ameritrade Park or whoever it is wrong for going up to the Vandy Whistler and telling him to not whistle, because it's not against any real rule. Now, I guess they're saying that a TD Ameritrade Park rule is worded so that they can throw this guy out of there for whistling. My thing is even though it's annoying and obnoxious, how is it any different than the woo girl who sits four rows in front of you who screams every time a pop-up goes into left field? You know what? Are we going to tell her? Hey, you got to sit down on pop-ups. You can't get excited when you see a pop-up. You can only get excited at what point is the line drawn of, hey, even though it's annoying and obnoxious, it doesn't hurt anybody, and it doesn't really break any rule, so they should just let the guy do his thing.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the only rationalization I see is if they don't allow any noisemakers of any type in there, then I could see how you could classify it as that. And you say, okay, we're, you know, that's not what we do here, and so be it. You know, but I mean, I think it's a little bit silly.
So here's what Preacher Franklin said. I tried to behave. Franklin said, and this is according to the Adam Sparks article, Franklin said his wife told him during a phone call to not get thrown out of the ballpark, especially because he drove 800 miles from Nashville to Omaha to attend the College World Series. He tried his best to whistle less frequently. Quote, I held the whistling down all day long. They are working with me. The TD Ameritrade Park employee was very nice and shook my hand. I told him I will try to keep it down a little. But look, if Vandy does something big, I'm going to whistle my butt off, is what he said.
Okay.
Well, or should we look at it like the NCAA should take, because it's their TV product, that they should take this annoying, obnoxious whistling out of the game? Like, how do we feel about that?
Well, again, I mean, if the only way I can rationalize it is if they classify that as noise of some sort. You know, they're not allowed horns, they're not allowed cowbells, they're not allowed whistles, I assume.
Right.
They're not allowed any of that stuff. Then
all that's artificial.
Yeah, but they're classifying that as the same, one and the same. And to be honest, I can see that. You know, so, okay, I see what you're saying. You know, that's fine.
But they can classify it however they want to. This is not the first guy who's ever whistled at a baseball game. Now, whistling as annoying and obnoxiously as he does.
I think there's whistling and then there's whistling.
But again, now you're stretching the rule. If you say that the only thing you care about is to whether or not the NCAA is stepping over the line to tell the Vandy whistler to not whistle, if you're saying that, hey, if the rule says you can't whistle, or if they're saying whistling doesn't count, then you have to throw out everybody who whistles at any point. And we know that the Vandy whistler is not the only person who whistles at any point during a ball game.
Excessive whistling.
Well, now you're just bending the rules to fit however you see it, however you want it. Which the question is, do you have a problem with the NCAA saying, okay, every other whistle in the history of whistling has not been this annoying, so we're just going to let it go because it's part of the fanfare and it's part of the game?
Well, it's not. I mean, let's face it, it's not just a whistle when things go. I mean, it's continuous whistling.
No, the whistling's obnoxious. I hate it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see where that would get on somebody's nerves. So I don't, you know, as long as that's the way what they're doing with it, fine. I don't have a problem with
but
it.
But like when the Vikings get a first down and you hear the, that gets on my nerves every time I'm watching a Vikings game.
Oh, there's and you go to a football game, now you've got more than that horn.
So are we going to tell people to sit there and not be able to cheer the way they want to cheer?
No.
But we're going to tell this guy to not cheer the way we want him to cheer.
Different sport. One's football, one's baseball.
Well, it's not golf.
I don't care. It's your game. I don't know anything about it.
I mean, cheering is a part of baseball. Like, cheering is something people do at baseball games. The sport may have its problems, and especially college baseball may be a little too boring. But they do allow cheering. You know, this is not golf where everybody has to be quiet until the guy hits his shot. This is a sport. I just think the NCAA is going a little too far. My question is, what's next after that? That if you're going to throw out the Vandy whistler, or if you're going to threaten to throw out the Vandy whistler, what's next after that? Somebody's going to get up there and say and scream, and now we're going to say, nope, you yelled too loud when your team hit a home run, so you've got to leave the stadium.
I doubt that'll happen.
I mean, the NBA already has certain instances that I'm not sure I totally believe what the team and players are saying, and they're getting fans banned for life. I just don't want sports to become this thing where you can kind of cheer, but you have to cheer by however they tell you to cheer. Like, you know what? If you want to whistle, whistle. Everybody else hates it, and I think it's obnoxious, and if I was Vanderbilt, I would try to convince him to not whistle just because it's so annoying, but I can't see where the NCAA can step in there, or TD Ameritrade Park or whatever can step in there and tell this guy to not whistle. And I'm going to have the guy's back as much as I can't stand him. I'm going to have his back on this because I feel like somebody's got to have his back out there.
Okay.
Do you have his back?
For what?
For being allowed to do his whistling?
No. If they don't let you blow horns, they don't let you have whistles, they don't let you have bells, they don't let you do, then I would put whistling, his whistle, his continuous whistle, in the same category as those things. It's no different to me than a guy standing up there blowing a horn. And if they don't let you do that, then, or an air horn, you know, just blowing an air horn. If they don't let you do that, then you know what? That's it. You can't do that. And I have no problem with that.
But it's not artificial.
I don't care about that.
It's natural. It's like if your body produces more testosterone than somebody else's body, you're fine. You shoot yourself up with steroids, you're sitting out four games. That's how I, so to me, I got the Vandy Whistler's back on it. Let's take the phones. Your thoughts on the Vandy Whistler and the NCAA, TD Ameritrade Park, kind of telling the Vandy Whistler, hey, tone it down a little bit. As much as I can't stand that whistle, I have the guy's back. Floyd's, you know, kind of against it and says it's more like a cowbell. So let's take your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So glad that I have them taking care of my home. Was gone for almost a week at the beach. When I got home, what did I see? I saw my AC running perfectly. I saw my plumbing perfect. Everything was perfect and going and rolling. And that's why I'm glad that I have Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical to take care of my home. They can take care of your home too. If you need a tune-up, as it is starting to get hot, hot, hot outside, you need to call Hiller now. Also, they have true transparency pricing, which tells you what you're paying for and while you're paying for it. I am so glad, again, that I have true transparency pricing with Hiller and that they've taken such great care of me and taken great care of my home. They can do the same for you. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They are proud partners of the Nashville Predators, offering true transparency pricing and free second opinions. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. It's Jared and the GM, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
On the ground, we'll go to second. And wow, he could have come home. They go back to third. But the run scores, and that may have been a mistake by Tanner Allen. You come home for the force at home. He didn't do it. And it's 3-0.
Yep. And he knows it, too.
That one did into his wheelhouse, and that is hammered. Scott's second of the day, a three-run shot. Vanderbilt up 6-0.
Vandy is just so much better than the rest of the field at the College World Series. And I'm saying that as a guy whose team is hoping to play Vandy in order to get into the championship series at Louisville. But, Floyd, what does it say about the state of Vandy baseball that in this city they get infinitely more reaction whenever anyone talks about the Vandy Whistler than they do about the actual team?
That's what I just said before the thing. I go, this is amazing because this team is the best team in this World Series, very likely going to win the World Series.
They're going to win the championship.
And we don't hear much about it, but then we mention the Whistler and hear people want to talk about it.
And again,
I'm going, I don't understand it, but that's the way it is.
I mean, at this point, Adam Sparks has written an article a day at the College World Series about the Vandy Whistler. One article a day about the Vandy Whistler. Well, Adam Sparks is not writing that article if it doesn't get clicks, which means that more people care about that. I mean, that is another discussion for another day. Vanderbilt has a team that's going to win the championship. Nobody in this town, I mean, the majority of people are whatever about it. Talk about the Whistler, everybody wants to get in on it, and that's what we're going to do right to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025. Turtle is up next on the Vandy Whistler. What's up, Turtle?
What's up, guys? Well, how do you get what he does is cheering?
Because he's rooting for his team. He does his three whistles, and they do the fans do their three claps.
No, it's not cheering. He thinks he's interfering with the opposing team by doing his whistle. There's a thousand more ways he could lead a cheer besides doing it in a way where people turn their television off because it's so annoying. The reality of it is, just today there was a poll on the Vanderbilt website about the Whistler. Over 70% of the people that responded wants him to stop, and of that, 30% of them want his tongue cut out.
That's vulgar. Thank you for your call, Turtle.
Oh, goodness.
Can you whistle without your tongue? Do you use your tongue when you whistle?
I have no idea. I haven't thought about it.
I can't whistle like that. The Kevin Stallings whistle where you put it in your mouth and you do that. And you don't, like you're saying, it almost sounds like an air horn.
That's it.
I can't do that. But again, I'm not saying that it's not annoying and obnoxious. But if you're saying that what the Vandy Whistler does is to distract the other team, how's that any different when a guy goes up to shoot a free throw and you're sitting behind the basket? Oh, you know, like, how's that any different?
Different sport. You're talking baseball.
This is
a baseball rule. This is not a sport rule. So you need to talk to your baseball guys. I don't know why it's that way. I just realized that today it was that way. I mean, I thought
you're not allowed to bring whistles into a football game.
I thought you could be. They bring whistles in a football game all the time.
No, fans can't bring whistles and blow them out at the stadium.
Let me say this: fans bring whistles and blow them in the stadium all the time. But beyond that, they've got drums, they've got horns, they've got. I mean, they got everything. Whistles, whatever you want.
Who brings a horn to a Titans game?
Oh, those big old long things and those
vuvuzelas,
whatever they are, and those
sticks
you bang together. Jeez, I'm going to tell you what now. They're racket everywhere.
So they had those at baseball in the World Series in 2002. Now, I do think they got rid of the thunder sticks in baseball. I don't know if they did or didn't. But again, I don't think it's a baseball-specific rule in college sports about artificial noisemakers. I don't think you're allowed to bring a cowbell into a basketball game. Tyler is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I had to get in on this. So I think it is cheering, but you can call it what you want. I think there's two types of cheering. There's cheering for your team, supporting them, and then there's heckling. And let's be honest, everybody heckles in sports. I mean, you got a pop fly that's coming to your outfielder. What are you going to do? You're going to yell at him and be like, hey, drop the ball, whatever. This is no different from that. I mean, hey, batter, swing, batter. I mean, are you just going to tell everybody you're not allowed to heckle the other team anymore? Because that takes all the fun out of sports.
I agree. And honestly, Tyler, thank you for your call. The NBA is like the most anti-heckling league I've ever seen. A player gets mad about something and then throws a fit, and then they ban the fan for life. And in some cases, sure. Other cases, it turns into a he said, as to what the guy actually said. And oftentimes, they don't even have any proof, and they just ban the guy for life. I mean, are we really going to get to the point to where we can't heckle people? I mean, I feel like even if you have prior baggage. Now, remember, I am somebody who does not by any means live a perfect life. But if something happened to me, I think that I would have to understand people are going to say things to me or tweet things to me and say, hey, Jared Stillman, remember when you know, Chipper Jones knocking up the Hooters waitress. You don't think people are going to make a big deal with Chipper Jones even 20 years after the fact that he knocked up a Hooters waitress when he was married and the Hooters waitress was like 20 or something? Like, I mean, people are going to bring that up, right? Like, isn't that part of sports? Like, you don't want to have that? Don't knock up a Hooters waitress.
Yeah, in football, that's all you hear. I mean, that's... Heckling is when you walk onto a field. You're lucky. They're throwing stuff. They're yelling stuff. They're everything you can imagine.
Well, they're not allowed to throw stuff.
And especially if you're in Oakland or a place like that. I mean, there is so much going on in those places, you cannot believe it.
Let's go to Ronnie, who's up next. What's up, Ronnie?
Yeah, get rid of him.
That's all you got.
Yeah, it's been to athletic events all across the Southeast, and people are going to heckle, people are going to cheer. That's part of the game. That's why we all go. That's enjoyment. But that guy's heckle, that guy's whistle has become bigger than the game itself. And I think it becomes more of a distraction for the people that are trying to go enjoy the games, for him to put on his own show rather than give people opportunity to go enjoy the show they went to see.
So that's not a bad take, but my counter to that take is – If it becomes bigger than the game itself, isn't that the game's fault?
You're winning the national championship.
Again, isn't that the game and the sport's fault? Do you think the guy whistling at a Patriots game would ever be a bigger story than the Patriots trying to win a Super Bowl?
Probably not, but there are 70,000 people at a Patriots game.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, if there was one fan that did something very annoying and obnoxious, do you think it would get covered and talked about more than the Patriots' actual quest to go out and win a Super Bowl?
Probably not. In that sense, probably not. I agree with you on there, but it's an issue when you go and you can't even, to the point where the purpose of going to the ball game is ruined for the act of one person.
Again, I hate the Whistler. Thank you for your call, Ronnie. I mean, I absolutely cannot stand him. Drives me nuts. Hate the sound. Hate all of it. I just kind of have his back on this, because when you say, well, he's become bigger than the game, that's college baseball and Vandy's problem. That's not his problem, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think it is the sports problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got to find a way to spice it up.
I mean, Tim Corbin, bless his heart. If Tim Corbin knew how much the Vandy Whistler gets talked about on the radio and how much the actual baseball gets talked on the radio, he probably would quit. He probably like, what am I doing this for?
Start whistling himself.
I mean, like, what am I doing this for? Every time we go out, dominate great teams, great programs, great coaches. Like, dominates great coaches. Dan McDonald at Louisville and Chris Lemonis at Mississippi State are great coaches. And they are dominating those guys. And what does everyone want to call in and talk about on local sports talk radio in your town?
Whistler.
Ah, I think he's whistling too much. Mike's up next on the Whistler. What you got, Mike?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, my take on that is this, is I doubt that the athletes and the coaches on the field even pay any attention to that stuff. I mean, those guys are trained to you know, zone out the fans. But when a fan, whatever a fan is doing, whether it's generally an acceptable practice, when they get to the point where they're doing it and it becomes obnoxious, which I think you've said that even you think it's obnoxious.
It's obnoxious.
When they get to that point and they're distracting the other fans and taking away from the enjoyment from the other fans, not the heckling the players, that's when I think it crosses the line. And I think anybody who's administering a sporting event has the right to remove a fan who's taking away from the pleasure of the other fans. So I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say about that.
I almost feel like, though, well, go ahead, Floyd.
That's probably right. I'm going to guess, and I don't know this, but I'm going to guess that's probably even written on your ticket, you know, that you can't.
That if you annoy too many people, you
can't.
Yeah,
you can't do anything to disturb the game, or else you could be ousted, something along those lines. Just to cover their butts, you know.
Well, but at the same time, like, where's the line? You know, can you say, well, you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan and you went to the Cowboys game and the section of Cowboy fans weren't enjoying the game because you were rooting for the Eagles, so now you have to go? Like, are we going to get to that point in sports?
Not in football.
I'm telling you, people get people sensitive now.
Not in football games. Not many sensitive.
Okay, you've got to get off your football is above all the weak
no,
sissy
I'm not,
fan
I'm
stuff.
I'm not saying it's above it.
That's what you're
I'm
acting.
Saying,
you're like, not in our sport. Our sport
I'm
doesn't
saying,
do
nah,
this.
And I'm
our
saying,
great sport
in our
lets
sport,
you heckle.
There are no rules for fans.
That's not true. That is simply not true.
You can yell.
You cannot run onto the field
during
the game.
You can yell. You can scream. You can have artificial noise. You can have chants. You can stand. You can sit. You can do whatever you want.
There are things fans cannot do at football games.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Like, you can't take a whistle and blow it while the game's going on, or else the players will think that it is the whistle that the refs are blowing to start play, stop
I don't,
play.
I've tried to tell you this three times, and for whatever reason, it's not getting through. Every single game I've ever been to, there have been fans with whistles. Do they want it? No, they don't. But do they get in? Yes, they do. Unfortunately, when you go through the check, you know, where they check for guns and whatnot, there's not a whistle check there. So they get in with those things. You hear all the time in games where an official will stop a game because there's a play that somebody blew a whistle in the stands and some players stopped because of it. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but it does happen.
Brett on Twitter says the Vandy Whistler is as much a part of the Vandy boys as David Price, Sonny Gray, Dansby Swanson, Tim Corbin, etc. That is so, like, I know the guy's joking, but that is so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing. What a great program, too. And yet everyone is, the only thing anyone in this town cares about is the Whistler. We could do all 4 hours today on the Vandy Whistler. Do you think we would get a call if we were taking calls on Vandy baseball? Like, do you believe Vandy baseball will go all the way, call in? I'm not convinced that we would get a lot of calls. We talk about the Whistler, call, can't get a line open.
That's sad.
That is so sad.
Because their program is, I mean, it's, and they were talking about it when they were playing Louisville. You know, whoever wins, if one of these two teams wins this national championship, I mean, they will claim themselves as the team of the decade because they've both had such success for a decade. And it's looking like Vandy's headed that way. And you can imagine, I mean, we're not just talking about this year or last year or the year before. I mean, we're talking about a decade of success.
So my buddy played on the Louisville team like early in the decade before they were just rolling like they're rolling now. And he told me that when he played there, like none of the guys had girlfriends on the team. And said that now all the guys on the team have, like, serious, serious girlfriends, every single one of them. And I said, you know why that is, right? He goes, no, why? I said, because of all the first-round picks and stuff that we've had now, these college students that are hanging out with these baseball players are looking at these guys like, he might be the next first-round pick. Let me get in there.
Yeah.
And it's that I find that to be just so funny. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, today a suggestion, or a possibility, I should say, was floated out there. And it honestly might be the stupidest thing I have ever seen in the history of professional sports. We will discuss it next. Jared and the GM. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC takes on the Ottawa Fury. FC at First Tennessee Park. Pregame 6:45, kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Always good to hear on the show. Now, Floyd, saw this today. I find this to be the single stupidest thing I maybe have ever read from a pro sports league. You ready for this?
Okay.
The Tampa Bay Rays have received permission from Major League Baseball's executive council to explore a plan in which they would play home games in both Tampa Bay and Montreal, Commissioner Rob Manfred said on Thursday. While the plan is in the early stages, the Rays have embraced the two-city solution as the most feasible way to saving baseball in the Tampa Bay area after years of failed attempts to build a new stadium in the region. Under the plan, the Rays would play early season home games in Tampa and the remainder of the year in Montreal, with both cities getting new stadiums, sources said. Okay, stop. Number one, if I'm a Tampa Bay fan, and we know there are not a lot of Tampa Bay fans there. By the way, just hearing that makes me think that they need to fire this baseball commissioner. Because I don't see how the major leagues have gotten any better since he took over as commissioner. Interest is down. Talking about it is down. Attendance looks down. I mean, it just looks all bad since he took over as commissioner. But that's neither here nor there. Let's think this through again. Okay, so they're basically saying we want the early part of the games to be in Tampa Bay in a new stadium, and we want the late part of the season to be in Montreal in a new stadium. Okay? Okay, there's so many problems with this. Number one, you're going to go up to the players and say, hey, we want you to play for our team, but we're going to tax half your salary at the Canadian tax rate, and you have to buy two homes now. You think a lot of players are going to like that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's not even, to me, the number one issue. I mean, you can't get a stadium built for an entire season at home.
Now you want
to. So you're going to get a stadium built for half a season at home? There's no chance. What's wrong with you people?
And then my other question is, do we remember why Montreal doesn't have a baseball team? It's because nobody went. They had games. I remember a pitcher on the Braves said the hardest part of pitching at Montreal was the fact that when he was on the mound there, you know, when he was on the mound in a game pitching, you would hear fans talking or whatever, but it would just be like crowd noise. When he was at Montreal on the mound, he would hear people's conversations. And so he'd start to get distracted because here are these guys sitting there and talking about, like, you know, yeah, my wife is pregnant, and so we're going to try to go down to such and such or whatever. And it's like...
He tried to get in on it?
I mean, it's like, it means clearly you're going to be distracted a little bit, right? Like,
is it a boy or a girl?
Yeah. So that's why Montreal doesn't even have... This is the stupidest thing I have ever... I can't remember something that is as stupid as this. Like, as brilliant as the NFL is at times with certain things like Thursday night football or Sunday night football, which are just unmitigated successes, baseball comes out with something that is just so stupid. I don't know. Do you know what this is like? Honest to God, this baseball plan about playing half the Rays games in Tampa and half the games in Montreal?
No.
It's like when we take a call during like Preds off season of like, now Jared, no, it's like taking a call right before the Preds trade deadline. Now Jared, here's what we need to do. Okay, I have a theory. We need to trade PK Subban and trade Ryan Ellis and trade Kyle Turris and get Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin in return. What do you think? Those are some of the calls we get sometimes. That is this plan.
Well, I was thinking even before. I mean, they're talking about playing the first part of the season in Tampa where it's 100 degrees every day and then moving to Montreal in the winter.
No, they'd move to Montreal in like July, August, September.
Oh, there we go. Those are the months that they need to be up there. I mean, be up there where it's when it's, you know, cool, and be down in Tampa when it's cool.
What's funny about all this is that baseball cannot admit what they really need to do. And I've told people this all the time. Tampa gets like 6,000 fans a game, right? 6,000. Think about how ridiculous that is, 6,000 fans. If they played at First Tennessee Park, they'd sell out that stadium every day. Now, they would complain and say, well, you know, 11,000 fans is by far the smallest ballpark in the league. How are we supposed to compete when the Yankees are getting 50,000 a game? We're getting 11,000 a game. And I would just look at you and say it's 5,000 more than you're getting now. And that's probably what baseball needs to do. Is baseball needs to go to 11,000, 15,000 seats a stadium.
I mean, part of the problem is they probably don't have a city out there that's ready to bring in a baseball team.
We are. If we could play them at First Tennessee Park.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about somebody's got a stadium and, you know, or a giant plan for the stadium. I mean, they're not gonna want to do that.
Why?
Because it's not big enough. It's not.
But it is 6,000.
Have you been
now.
To you? We were at Atlanta Stadium
right
last year. How do you compare the two? Thank you. That's the difference. That's what they want.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. They want to be able to put people in 35,000 to 50,000 seat stadiums. They're not selling 50,000 tickets anymore. They're just not doing it. So you can say, well, you know, that's too small for Major League Baseball. The Rays now have 27,000 seats. They're selling 5,000 a night. And it's only going to get smaller the more your TV revenue goes up. I know what you mean. Like, I agree with you that I believe baseball would say, no, we would never play an 11,000-seat stadium. That is too small. And I'm here to say you think it's too small. It's like your buddy who, like, puts on a large, and you're like, maybe you need to wear an XL. Nah, I've been wearing a large for 15 years. I weigh 213 pounds. I do not need an XL. Like, bro, I'm just telling you right now, I'm looking at you. You need to go wear an XL. It's like I'm looking at baseball saying, you probably need to play in stadiums like First Tennessee Park. And they're probably looking at me like, we are not going to play in an 11,000-seat stadium. Well, you're getting five now. So... what are you going to do?
Well, again, I think part of their problem is they don't have anybody that's ready for a move, and consequently they're trying to find some kind of remedy, you know, where they could pray that something good would happen. And but I don't know where they think they're going to get the new stadiums. I mean, I don't buy that
Tampa
at all.
Tampa will build you a new stadium now.
They won't buy that. That ain't going to fly. Now, if you're going to play half the season in that rotten stadium and then move up there and play, hey, you know, if that's what you want to do, go for it.
Okay, so Ryan sent me this tweet. According to John Romano, who covers for the Tampa Bay Times, the Rays' plan for Montreal already appears near death. St. Pete Mayor Rich Chrisman said he told the team he would not grant permission for talks with Montreal. The Rays have an agreement with St. Petersburg until 2027. Also, how stupid do you have to be to sign an agreement through 2027 with St. Petersburg?
Have you ever been to that stadium?
It was built in the 80s.
It's awful. It's so bad.
I mean, that's so I mean, you know what? If I owned a team, like if I owned a baseball team, I think I'd call some other owners today and I'm like, we need to fire this commissioner. I'm dead serious. How can you let this out? It's the stupidest thing I have literally ever seen from a pro sports league. Like, even Gary Bettman is blushing at how stupid that idea was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, basketball has had some dumb ideas over the last decade or so. Like, the one-and-done rule. So stupid. But this is just... Have you ever had a scout when you were GM who told you something that was so stupid that you wanted to fire the scout for having an opinion that was just so bad and so wrong?
I mean, that probably happened. I don't remember who it was.
Where it's like, if you actually think that, I have to fire you for being so stupid. I'm serious. That's how I feel about the commissioner of baseball for letting this together. It's so stupid. What are you doing? Oh, it is so embarrassing. To a game I love, and I watch baseball like every day, and I know most people here don't care about, you know, the Dodgers or the Cubs or whatever, but, I mean, this thing with Montreal is just so... stupid. Oh, by the way, speaking of stupid, the New York Mets fired their pitching coach. They hired and their bullpen coach. They hired Phil Reagan to be the interim pitching coach. You want to know why I bring this up, Floyd?
What?
Phil Reagan is 82 years old.
My man.
The Mets have hired an 82-year-old pitching coach. Oh, God. Now, back in May Day, we used to throw the spitter.
Oh, jeez.
Baseball is just so stupid. The dumbest sport out there by far is baseball. It's time to fire the commissioner. 615-737-1025. Want to go to this year's ESPYs? How about playing an Apex Legends Pro-Am event with two big names? Go to ebay.com/ESPN to donate for a chance to win. It all benefits the V Foundation for Cancer Research. ebay.com/ESPN for more information and complete rules. Jerry and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the game. Floyd, it is now official, and I'm sure this is actually something that you do actually care about. So now we have some officiality to something that's, I think, important to you.
Okay.
We now have the official wording of what the rule will be for challenging pass interference in the National Football League.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Why not?
Because what's written down there and what actually is in practice will be two different things.
So here's what we have. The NFL's competition committee finalized its new rule on Thursday for reviewing pass interference, opting against several suggested tweaks and upholding the wording that the owners originally approved in March. As a result, coaches will be able to challenge pass interference calls or no calls up until the two-minute warning of either half. In the final 2 minutes of each half and in overtime, an on-site replay official will be responsible for stopping the game to review pass interference as they are for all other reviewable plays. The rule will cover the 2019 season, after which the owners will decide whether to extend, tweak, or eliminate it for 2020. Competition committee members concerned about excessive stoppages during the final minutes of games floated the idea of prohibiting replay officials from stopping the game to review pass interference. Instead, that responsibility would have remained with the coaches, but a number of coaches pushed back on that idea, worried it would impact their timeout strategy. So there you have it. That's how they're going to be able to adjudicate pass interference going forward with a replay review. Is there any chance, Floyd, that we won't get stuck with almost every pass play at the end of the game being reviewed for pass interference?
Oh, no. If you're talking about you're throwing the ball? Yeah, I mean, you're going to – but they only can do what, one time, right?
No, but once there's 2 minutes,
Well, 2 minutes, but then that goes to the replay guys.
Right, but going to stop the replay guys from doing it on every play?
Yeah, I don't think that if they do that, that'll slow the games to a nub. They won't let that happen.
But then does that not affect the integrity of the game, that if there is a possible pass interference?
Well,
call,
I mean, if there's a possible, then I'm sure they'll check it. Or if there's, you know, something that's obvious, I'm sure they'll check it. But they're not going to have enough time to check every play.
I'm telling you, if there's a ball that's in the air and they're battling for it and the ball's up there and there's an – I mean, how many times does Marcus throw a pass? And if you're a Titans fan, you're sitting there watching TV and you see Marcus throw the pass. You're like, hey, throw it. Hey, where's it? Where? And you turn around and Delanie Walker's sitting there looking for the flag and it doesn't come. And then they show the replay and Troy Aikman – well, he doesn't do Titans games. But, you know, the color analyst is sitting there – James Lofton is sitting there, you know, saying like – I think that could have been pass interference. He reached over the back to kind of bring him down. I think that could be pass interference. How many times do we see that over the course of a game? Now it's under 2 minutes. One team is desperately trying to throw it. One team is desperately trying to stop it. I think every passing play, they're going to almost have to review it. I couldn't, if I was the replay official, say, nah. If I feel like it's close, then I think that we should have to review it.
If they do that, it won't last through preseason.
It'll turn into the helmet rule from last year?
They'll just eliminate it, yeah. Because you can't slow games down that much. So that won't, because that will literally happen every snap. I mean, the games will be 3.5 hours long.
Especially if we're reviewing calls and non-calls, too.
Yeah, that won't happen. Now, there may be guys that can adjudicate it correctly, and if there's a legitimate, you know, reason to slow it down and look at it, then that's fine. I mean, that's the purpose. But, I mean, you just can't review them all.
Any chance you end up liking this rule?
Me?
Yes.
Nah.
Why not?
There's really no difference in the rule. Other than you can call, I mean, a coach can challenge a non-call in before 2 minutes. Okay, you know, there's nothing. I mean, I guess that's okay.
Well, it's definitely different. I mean, they're going to be able to challenge pass interference,
right? But they could challenge pass interference. I mean, in 2 minutes. I mean, the process in the 2 minute latter part of the game is going to be the same. Or it should be, in my mind, the same as it always has been. Mm-hmm. If there's a guy that thinks there's – and periodically there'll be a penalty pop-up because there really is pass interference and they missed it. And you know, that's all well and good. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about – the way I understand it, you're talking about the same number of challenges, same number of wins and losses and whatnot.
Yeah, no, it just adds up the same.
Yeah,
but
it's not going to be. I mean, instead of challenging another penalty of some sort, whatever it may be, you challenge that one.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, the Predators. Everybody is linking them to Matt Duchene. Plus, I'm hearing a little rumor that I guess I'll get into on some level. But here's my thing on the Matt Duchene talk. I will believe it when I see it. But let's say the Predators get Matt Duchene. What makes us think that that's going to be the game changer to solve all their problems? We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.